Kveldvaka, Evening Wake, 2020. I stand at a place of wild liminality, upon a shore of black sand. There is a raw and seething ocean before me, and the sky is a lowered brow. Behind me is a field of lava crowned with moss, and beyond that, a scoured glacier. The wind whips my hair against my neck. My skin is tight with cold, and I am alone and waiting. My waiting is of the enduring, desperate kind. Something is going to happen, and it shall be momentous. Something is coming, and I must meet it. The sky threatens blizzard. I recognize the heavy yellowing pall of the clouds, and I turn away from the rage of the sea and walk towards the lava, stopping before a crevasse. Somewhere deep within the dark rock, I know a river runs. When I wake, it is to the warm glow of a salt lamp and the sound of a newborn inhaling as he prepares to cry. My body, dislocated from my mind, is already pulling itself up against the wooden bedhead and reaching into the bassinet at my side. As the baby latches, my thoughts orientate themselves. There is no ocean here. There is no cragged lava. I touch my cheek, and it is soft and creased and bears no mark of cold or salted air. I am in my bedroom, my sleeping wife radiating warmth at my side, and this tiny creature, hand splayed on my breast, intent and quiet again, is our son. Again, I think, again and again, in one form or another, I am returning to Iceland. At 3 o'clock in the morning, our house is a womb. The bedroom is suffused with the lamp's pink glow, smelling of sleep and milk, tender things. I can hear a smattering of rain upon leaf litter as it drips from the trees outside, the hissing of possums in the Fajoa. I am in Australia, I tell myself. I am beneath the canopies of my childhood. Closing my eyes, I summon back the feeling of my dream. It felt premonitory. I come from a line of women who sometimes do dream things that are other and strange and not quite dreams at all, and there have been times in my life when my sister and my mother and I have known things, avoided things, warned of things dreamed. We don't usually speak of it outside of our tight trinity. It spooks people. But we three know the feeling of these not dreams, and I recognize it in that northern sea, in the boom of its crashing waves and their spray against my face and the hidden river running to meet it. I lick my lips and anticipate salt. I wait for a greater understanding, but it is gone. I open my eyes to switch the baby to my other breast, and the fugue that might have offered meaning dissolves in the realities of the t-shirt stretched down my front, the horror novelty of veins across my chest, the mug lipped with stains on the bedside table. I stare at the unread book stacked precariously beside it and feel dumb with fatigue. I am supposed to be writing my third novel. In a recent mood of forced optimism, I brought in a pile of titles for research I should, by now, have already read. I have not read them. I have not been reading anything. These past 2 years of unremitting exhaustion have acted like a riptide on my mind. I have been dragged beyond language. I notice that my son is finished, his mouth finally slack on my nipple, a thread of milk running down his cheek. I place him on my chest and feel his entire weight balanced over my heart. The wound on my abdomen twinges as his eyelashes flutter against my neck. He is more than what I may hold. He is dreaming of his own strange landscapes.